Very thankful this morning that I can testify that I have been to Calvary. And I'm thankful to read about it in the scripture, but I'm more thankful to have experienced it in my own life, and that is how I can stand here this morning with confidence and tell you this is real, because I know what the Lord has done in my life. The Lord has done in my life what I was incapable of doing for myself. And I found the power of God. I found the forgiveness of the Lord. I found the long-suffering of the Lord. I found power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that it is still relevant today. Desire and interest in your prayers. We look into the scripture. I pray that I can get through the message without doing too much coughing. Been sick for quite a while now, but I'm thankful to be able to be here today. This is Palm Sunday. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of remembering what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Because that Friday night, Jesus was crucified. But before he was crucified and before the multitudes were crying out, "Crucify him," some of those same people a few days before were calling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." It shows the fickleness of the multitude. One day professing Christ as king and a few days later saying, "Crucify him." But it is a special day, and I'd like to begin this morning in the 20th, or in the second chapter of Matthew, in verse 1, Matthew 2:1. Said, "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" There had been those who had been studying the scripture and the prophecies, and they knew from the prophecies that there was going to be a king that was going to be born. They found that from reading the book of Isaiah. They found that from reading the prophecies of Daniel. They knew that from reading the prophecies of Zechariah. And so they had said, they came seeking and they asked the question, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" You know, there are still people waiting and anticipating the coming of a king. There are still those that are looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. But these men had understood the prophecy, and they said, "Where is he that is born?" In other words, we've studied this, the fulfillment is now, and we're looking for where he is. At the birth of Christ, there were nations that were looking for a king. And it seems that the world is in a place that they are still searching for a king, for a president, for a leader, for a ruler to bring peace, to bring hope, to bring justice. Isn't that what people are still looking for today? And so many times and so often people go to the polls in democracies thinking that this will make a change. But I look over the last number of years and different administrations have come and gone, and yet I still find that the world is still in trouble. The world is still not at peace. That the people are still troubled in their spirits. And the wise men said, "Where is he that is born king? Where is he? We're searching for this." Israel had a longing for a Messiah. The scholars and the Pharisees and the scribes, and they had read the scripture and they knew the prophecies as well. And there was a longing and an expectation that the country of Israel had for a coming Messiah. But do you realize their expectations were misplaced? Because as a nation, Israel rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah, did they not? There were those that received him. John chapter 1 said, he came unto his own, speaking of Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own what? Received him not. But to such as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Thank the Lord. As a nation, understand, as a nation, Israel rejected Christ. And if I may be so bold this morning, as a nation, they are still rejecting Christ. As a world, people are rejecting Jesus Christ and his kingship and his messiahship. People have turned their back because they had an expectation of a political deliverance. Did they not? The Jews, the Israelites, had an expectation that when the Messiah comes, we have in our minds what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. They had been under Roman rule, and their expectation was when the real Messiah comes, he's going to bring political deliverance. Is it not interesting that that is what people are still looking for today? We look at what is going on in the Middle East and you hear Jews and Christians and many people thinking maybe this is what's going to bring about the coming of the Messiah. Maybe this will bring about the deliverance that we have been looking for. But people have been looking for nigh 2,000 years for the coming of the Messiah, and it was because they rejected the Messiah when he came, because they were looking for political deliverance. This morning, Jesus did not come to give political deliverance. Jesus came to minister to the very needs that are in our soul. So when the wise men came asking, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? Where is he? We're looking for him. We're anticipating him." Well, so was Israel in that place, but they were looking for a political Messiah. But I'd like to read to you a prophecy from the book of Zechariah this morning. In the book of Zechariah, beginning in chapter 9, in verse 9, this is one of the prophecies of the coming of the king. And the title of the message, and put it up here on the slide, it says, "The King has come." When the King has come, you need not look for another. The King has come. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. You know, it's wonderful. Water has more than one purpose. Water quenches. Water, it gives wet what is dry. It also has a cleansing agent. That's not going too far off the beaten path. Jesus came to be water for us, didn't he? He came to satisfy the thirsty soul. For those that are thirsty, if there's anyone that's thirsty this morning, see, we did a little cleaning up here, a little accidental. But do you know that water cleanses? And there's a satisfying agent when you take a drink of water when you're thirsty. That's what Jesus came to do for us this morning. If you're thirsty, you need not look for another. The King has come. If there's uncleanness in your life this morning, you need not look for another. The King has come. He came to do in our lives, to work the impossible. So in the book of Zechariah in the 9th chapter, verse 9, he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem." There was a reason why the prophet was saying there's a place of rejoicing. There's a place of shouting. Now I want to, if anybody questions my interpretation of prophecy this morning, I'm going to give you a challenge. We had a lesson with the ministers a few weeks ago. Sometime I'd like to do it here. Of how to study the Bible. Proper way to interpret Scripture. And one of the key roles and key things we need to understand prophecy, is let the scripture interpret itself when it does. I'm going to read to you a prophecy from Zechariah, but then I'm going to read to you what the apostle said was the fulfillment of it. That takes speculation out of the prophecy, doesn't it? When the scripture itself tells us, as was written by the prophet. So in the Zechariah, the prophet said, rejoice. He said, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. The king comes. He is just and having salvation and lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt of the foal of a donkey. The king said, the king cometh unto thee. It was a prophecy that the Lord Jesus, the King, the Messiah, is going to come unto thee. Do you remember when the shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night? And the message of the angels was, what was the message of the Messiah given to? For unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior. Which is what? Which is Christ the Lord. For unto you. You see, the King has come. He has come to you. He is personal. It's been personalized. That there is a King that has come. And so the prophet said, the King cometh unto thee. He is just. In other words, this King that is coming is the fountain of all righteousness. He's pure and he's clean and he's right. And he's holy, and he's pure, and he's good. He's just and having salvation. You know this morning that it is Jesus alone that can save from sin. It's Jesus alone. It's not your works. It's not my works. It's not because we got our name on a church membership roll book somewhere. But we are saved only through Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring deliverance this morning. There are some things that can help you make some changes in life. But there is no one and nothing that has power to change the soul except the blood of Jesus Christ. And the message of the prophet was, the King has come unto thee. Rejoice. He's just and he has salvation. It is Jesus alone that has all power in heaven and in earth. We need not look for another this morning. We need not look to anyone else or another time to come to fulfill it, because the King has come. He broke the power of the curse that was put in the Garden of Eden. The curse of spiritual death and separation from God. When the prophet said that the King that cometh unto thee, he has salvation. He has the power to reconcile you with God. If you are not reconciled with God this morning, the good news of the gospel is the King has come and he has salvation to tear down the power of sin that has separated us from God. And secondly, the curse was not only spiritual death in the garden, it was physical death. And through the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that also has been broken. That we anticipate a day when we too shall be raised in glory and in honor with a glorified body to be forever with the Lord. It was because the King has come. And then he said he came lowly. He's riding on a donkey. He came in humbleness, in humility. He did not come as the kings of this world. He did not come with the wealth and the splendor of the world, but he came with humility and with love. And you see, that's why the wise men went, where they go? To the palace of Herod. Where's the king? Because aren't kings born in palaces? Not the deliverer of all mankind. He came and he was born in a manger. He was born with the animals in a place of humility because he came to reach all people. It wasn't to someone of a certain nationality, a certain language, a certain color, a certain personality, a certain family background. Jesus came for all people, and he came lowly. And then in the tenth verse of Zechariah, he said, "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off." I want us to keep in mind what he's taught, what the prophet's talking about. When you go to war, what do you go to war with? Horses, chariots, bows. And right after he said, "The king cometh unto thee," he said, "I'm going to cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak." It's speaking about the king now. "He shall speak peace unto the heathen." He did not come conquering. Jesus did not come conquering with swords and with spears. He did not come to bring about political deliverance. He came speaking peace to the heathen and his dominion. Oh, if there's a king, there's got to be dominion, doesn't there? What is the dominion of this king that's being prophesied here? It says his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. The kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus came to bring, is not spread by war. It is not spread by strife. It is not spread at the ballot box. It is not spread by protesting in the streets. It is not spread by conquering some country or nation over in the Middle East. It is spread by peace and by love. And that is what Jesus Christ came to do. When Peter pulled out his sword, Jesus said, "Put your sword up." Because he came to spread love. He came to minister to the heathen that would bring peace to their hearts and souls. It was founded in righteousness. And Jesus Christ is still today speaking peace to the nations. He does not come as a man of war. He came as a man of peace. And his boundaries know no limit. Isn't that wonderful? We sang the song, "The Kingdom." And I wasn't in here, but I was hoping that I didn't want to have to poke my head in here. I was hoping that y'all would hold it out at least for one verse. "Because of his kingdom, it shall ever increase in my soul." There's no boundary to it. And if you have a hold of Jesus this morning, the king that has come unto you, and it seems like there's been some boundaries put on it, I want to encourage you with this morning, that there is no boundary and no limit to the power of Jesus Christ. When you come to the Red Sea and you feel like I've left Egypt, I'm fleeing Egypt, but I can't go anymore, the Lord will make a way through the river. When you get to the mountains this morning and it seems like I love God and he's done some things in my life, but I think about this is the extent of my boundaries, the Lord will make a way over the mountain for you this morning. When you come to the valleys and it seems like there's no way through it, the Lord Jesus Christ is boundless and limitless, and you can make it through because the King has come. Isn't that a wonderful prophecy? This was a prophecy from Zechariah that, "Behold, the king cometh," and this is how he's going to come. Jesus himself addressed when people would say, "Oh, lo, there comes the kingdom, and oh, lo, here, and lo, there." And Jesus is like, "No, that's not what my kingdom's about. My kingdom is not political, but my kingdom is spiritual. My kingdom is within you. Those of you that accept me as your king, you will find peace like a river. Those of you that accept that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your King this morning, you will find that he is a provider for you in the time of need. You will find that he is a friend when others walk away. You will find that he is the one that will make the way." That's what Jesus came to do, thank the Lord. And so on Palm Sunday, those 5 days before the crucifixion, this prophecy that I've just read to you stepped into full view. In the book of Matthew, and I know many would say, "Well, the prophecy, we're waiting for another day." But let's let the Scripture interpret Scripture this morning. In Matthew 21, after Jesus had ministered for close to 3.5 years, he had been cast out. He had been rejected. He had been ridiculed. He had been said, this is the carpenter's son. This is not the Messiah. This is not the king. Because he's out preaching peace. He's out preaching forgiveness. And the Jews said, surely this is not the one. Because they were waiting for political deliverance. But something beautiful happened that Sunday prior to the resurrection. Jesus was lifted up with at least people's mouths, and an acknowledgement was given of who he was. Chapter 21, and they drew nigh to Jerusalem and unto the Mount of Olives, and then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a colt. You'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, say the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he shall send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon a donkey and a colt of the foal of a donkey. This is fulfillment. This was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. There's no ambiguity to it. It's not ambiguous. It's clear. It's straightforward. It's sound interpretation. When people say, yes, but we're looking for another king, the Scripture tells us in Matthew, this was the fulfillment of the prophet Zacharias. Go get a donkey, because I'm not going to come into Jerusalem on the back of a horse. When a king came into a city on the back of a horse, it was a symbol of war. They're coming to conquer. But when a king was riding on a donkey was a symbol of peace and humility. I'm not coming to cause you problems. I'm coming to bring life and peace. I'm coming to bring hope. I'm coming to bring something wonderful and good to you. And so was fulfilled by the prophet, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh. Wouldn't have you liked to have been there that day? There were people that were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And there were thousands of people there. It's like this man that just raised Lazarus from the dead. Let's go see about that too. Let's go see if this is real. The king's coming. This man that said that's been healing the sick and raising the dead. Let's go and see this king. That would have been wonderful to have been there. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. And they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their clothes. And they set him thereon. And a great multitude, and the children demonstrated this in Sunday school for us this morning, a great multitude spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches. We read other areas, those were palm leaves. And they cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and followed, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? This morning the king has come. I don't wait for another. I don't have to wait for another politician to rise that will bring some civility to our country. I don't need to wait for another politician to arise that might bring hope and peace and someone that will minister to the needs of my soul. The king has come this morning. The king has come. I know recently there were protests in this country. What was it? No kings? Last weekend, thousands of people protested the current administration with the message of no kings. I'm not interested in where the politics lead us this morning, but I will tell you is there is a king that has come. This is what the world is saying today. No king. We don't want a king in our life. Oh, we already sang the song, Crown Him King. And it wasn't talking about a Democrat or a Republican. It wasn't talking about an Israeli or an American or a German or a Russian or anyone else or an Iranian. It was speaking about Jesus Christ. Will you crown Him King of your life? Will you acknowledge the King has come and I acknowledge Him in His dominion and I'm now a recipient of the blessings of the King? Isn't that wonderful? That was the good news that they celebrated that Sunday almost 2,000 years ago. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna means, the direct interpretation is save us. But it became also not only a cry for help, it became an expression of praise because our salvation has come. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We won't take the time to read. I believe we addressed this a few weeks ago, maybe. But there's a question of the ages found in Matthew. Remember when John the Baptist was in prison in the 11th chapter of Matthew? And John was in prison. When he heard about the works of Christ, he sent two disciples to Jesus and said, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Is this the one that's going to come, or should we look for someone else? The answer is the same today as it was back then. And that's the good news this morning, is the King has come. Behold your King this morning. Remember what he came to do for you. Remember why Jesus came. He came to give you peace. If you're not at rest this morning, the King has come. You can have a place of rest. You can be at peace with God and with yourself. There's a place of deliverance and victory. You see, Jesus came to reign over sin. When he was born, doesn't it say in Matthew 1, he shall save his people from what? He didn't say he'd save them in them. He said he'd save them from them. It's widely misinterpreted and misquoted scripture among many professing Christians who have not found the reality that the King has come. He can save you from your sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, Romans 6:14. Revelation 1:18, speaking of Jesus, it says, He holds the keys of death and of hell. He has the power of life this morning. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to tear down the works of the enemy in our lives. The Son of God was manifested that He might destroy all of the works of the enemy. And when is He going to do that? That's a relevant question as we bring the message to a close this morning. When is Jesus going to do this? Shall we wait for another age? Shall we wait for another king to come? No, Jesus came to do this for us today. Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So thanks be to God this morning that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, and I know we've touched on this, but in heaven it said that those that came before the throne, it said they cast their crowns down before the throne. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, He has made us kings and priests. He has made us partakers of His royalty in reconciling us to God. But when we stand before the throne of God, it's not because of anything we have done. It's not because of any works of our own, but we too will cast our crowns down in adoration and praise and thanksgiving because of what Jesus has done in our life. The King has come. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And I would ask you this morning as we close, can you say as Isaiah, mine eyes have seen the King? Can we say as Simeon, when Jesus as a child was brought to him, can we say, mine eyes have seen thy salvation? Would you stand and let's sing verse number 1 of number 40. It's a song of praise. It's a song of adoration. And this is what they joined in that day 2,000 years ago almost on Palm Sunday in rejoicing that the King has come. And it is for that that we still rejoice this morning.